And I want to read a passage here in Matthew 11, and then we will look at a verse, and it's kind of an unusual verse, but I think it kind of is something that we can learn from today. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and law prophesied until John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children." I think in this passage today, we can see an application to what's some things that are going on today in our country. The Bible says there in verse number 12, "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." With everything that's going on today, and I know that we have to be careful and cautious over certain things, and we have some dangerous things going on with riots and people, injustices, both real and perceived. And we have things that go on in our nation that are political, things that are going on in our nation, all sorts and ranges of different things. And I, in some ways, I care not for any of those things as far as this, because I really think that the biggest problem in our nation is not a health concern or a political concern, a violence issue. The biggest problem in our nation is a spiritual concern. Our nation is a people that if we were trusting in God the way we ought to be, and think about this today with God's people here, you know, how cumbered you are and how burdened you are with the things that are going on in our nation. Imagine what it must be like for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Imagine how worried they must be and how concerned they must be when you see the things that are going on in our nation and look at those things and say, what must it be like in their mind? We have an application here today with the violence that's taking place in our country, both in, it's not really protests, but in riots, and both also, though, that's going on just in everyday life. Some people live in communities, and you never know when there's going to be a shot fired. Here we are in Sumter County, and yesterday on 75, some idiot decided to drive his vehicle down the road, shooting at people in other cars, shooting at police officers in cars, hit several cars, hit police cars, and was involved in, I believe it was, three wrecks. But beyond that, he did get stopped and taken care of, but beyond that, thank the Lord that nobody was hurt. He didn't hit anybody that he was shooting at. It's a very bad aim. But you know, that's the kind of thing that should never happen. You never have to be able to travel down a road or an interstate and wonder, is somebody going to shoot at me? This is the United States of America. We were founded on godly principles. See, what has happened to us is we've lost our godly principles. Our children ought never have to worry about someone harming them, abusing them, or hurting them. A child should be able to walk down the street and not have to worry about someone taking them. But you can't do that. I don't even let Sarah get farther than I can see, you know? We get concerned. We watch her all the time. We even have cameras around our house, and if she goes in the backyard and plays, we watch her all the time. You say, oh, you're just weird and you're a freak and everything else. I tell you, I just think that the world is so unsafe anymore. This world has lost its mind. It's a violent place. But I'm going to tell you, Israel was not a safe place back in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. A matter of fact, they had three legions that were stationed around Israel. That's more than any other place. Most of the time, they only had one legion that was stationed in an area. But the nation of Israel, not just it, but the nations around it, and think about what's going on in Israel today, in the Middle East today. The Middle East is a dangerous place. There are not only people inside the nation of Israel, but all the countries that are around Israel. They just are dangerous places to be. And here we are looking at our Lord Jesus Christ's time, and there were violent people there. Even the Romans themselves, who had a thing called the Roman Pax, the Roman Peace. And peace, they said. But people always said peace always came at the end of a spear. If you didn't accept Rome's olive branch, then you got thrust through. If you didn't accept their peace. So it was a peace that was built behind violence. Some say that we have all these riots today and we've never seen anything. I've never seen anything like what's going on in our country today. In my lifetime, some of you have. You may remember riots that went on back in the 70s and the 60s and 70s and different things like that. But this is the first time I've ever seen things like this. But you know, the Bible teaches us that this is all the fruit of the wickedness of man. This is the fruit of the sin of humanity. Matter of fact, this kind of violence always occurs at the beginning of revolutions. We think about Nazi Germany and how they had violence before they turned over to Nazism. And in Russia, they had violence before they went over to communism. There's always violence that occurs like that in France and other countries. And it just needs to remind us of this as believers, that there is no peace without the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, I want us to see that the evil fruit of character in the character of men will continue to grow and grow and grow. See, men love the flower of their sin. They love to see their sin bloom, and they love to live in pride. But you see, pride is not where it ends at. It starts with sin. It starts with lust, and it goes to sin. But when it gets done with sin, it ends in death. And we have to remember that all this violence that's taking place today is just simply that which was once a flower, and it has turned ugly, and it's grown, and it's become a fruit now. But it's not a good fruit. It's a rotten fruit. I was reading about a tree in the Caribbean, and it blooms often. It looks kind of like an apple in some ways. Not completely, but it's a pretty little fruit. But they said this is the most poisonous tree in the entire world. It's so poisonous that sometimes people will get burnt, their skin will get burnt, just by trying to hide underneath of the branches of this tree during a rainstorm. If you eat the fruit, they said, the funny thing is, once you eat it, it tastes sweet in your mouth. But it is so bitter when it hits your stomach that before long your mouth will start to burn. Pustules will come up inside of your throat. And many people have been known to have died from eating this fruit. It's a dangerous, dangerous tree. You know, we have to remember that's exactly what sin's like. It may seem to be sweet, but it is bitter. The inhumanity we see today is going to grow. It's going to wax worse and worse. Excuse me. We're seeing a hatred of God. It's continuing, a cursing, tormenting pain. People don't have any respect. They don't have any kind of decency towards their fellow man today, or towards the Lord, or towards God's house. Some of you, and many of you will remember, back in the day, you used to be able to go to churches anytime, and the doors were always unlocked. We can't leave the doors of our church unlocked today. We can't even hardly leave them locked. We've been broken into a couple of times here at church. People don't have any respect for the Lord anymore. We see those things going on. We see people being treated today and calling themselves and pretending like they're animals. Instead of viewing themselves as being created by God, made in His image, today people want to think that they are just the product of an accident, chaos, violence, fallen from a tree like a monkey and walking like a man. I tell you this, we are not a bunch of animals. We are made by the Lord God, the Creator of all things. And we have to remember that. Peter said that men would behave as brute beasts. Paul said that seducers would wax worse and worse. And we have to remember that. Also, the indignity of sin, it'll grow. Human beings are not animals, but they pretend like they are. They act like they are. They live like they are. We ought to live in the image of God. We stand there before God's kingdom and see His peace that stands before us and know that inside of our Lord Jesus Christ we find all peace that ever we need. But we look at that wall and men today see an utter helplessness to stand before God. How can we enter into it and see any peace? I tell you number three that we need to see that there is an escape and that that is and it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not without hope, for Christ Himself is our entrance into that kingdom. We are not without a way to have peace today. You know, even in our hearts, we might say, well, if I would just turn the TV off and I'll just close my eyes and I not see it, then it won't be real. But yet violence goes on. Wars break out whether you see them or not or whether you know they exist or not. Say, I'm just going to close my eyes and pretend that nothing's going on. That's not the answer. Sickness is still going to be there whether or not you see it. You're still going to get ill or people around you will get ill. It's going to happen. But what I'm saying is not that we need to be blinded, but that we need peace in the Lord. And it only comes through Christ. There our Lord Jesus Christ was getting ready to be executed. He did not stay up the night before because He was worried. He stayed up the night before because He prayed for us that we might have peace, that we might have the same kind of peace that He had. He had so much peace that when He hung upon the cross, He would not accept that which would have put His mind into a stupefied zone where He didn't understand what was going on anymore. No, He understood everything that went on the cross. And when He decided it was time to give up His life, when He laid down His life, then He gave it up. That is peace. He had peace with the Father. He had peace with the Father so He could make peace with mankind. All things remain the same in this world still without the Lord Jesus Christ. All the woes, injustices, inequities, sins, harms, and hurts, they've all been going on since the beginning. Since man fell, there have always been problems. And notice today that there, and back when Cain was mad at the Lord because the Lord would not accept his sacrifice. You know, the Lord told Cain that he was supposed to be the boss. Cain was the firstborn. Cain was supposed to be the one that was to be the leader. Cain was supposed to be the one that Abel was supposed to be subservient to. And yet Cain rejected those things. God rejected his sacrifice, but God did not reject Cain. Cain could have come back with the right sacrifice, the proper attitude towards God. And instead of doing that, Cain said, I will leave the face of God. And he fled from God. God put a mark upon Cain so that no one would kill him. And that was not enough for Cain. Cain was mad and angry at God. So mad and angry at God was Cain that he took his own brother and he slew his own brother in his anger and self-will. What are people doing today? But killing, slaying people, hurting people, destroying things that don't belong to them. I'll tell you, it's not an anger at man, though Satan indeed is angry at man. But it is ultimately an anger at God. They just cannot stand having anyone that looks like the image of God. Anyone that prays. There in St. Louis yesterday, people praying in St. Louis to God, and across the street, people cursing God, calling them names, telling them to get out of there. America needs more prayer today than ever before. America needs God more today than ever before. America needs the Lord Jesus Christ today more than ever before. And goodness alone is not the answer. We have to remember it's not just about being a good people. Though I think Christians ought to be a good people. I think Americans ought to be a good people. I think we ought to treat our neighbors nice. But you can treat your neighbor nice and not be right with God. Even good men in the Bible were flawed. They were sinners, murderers, drunken. They were proud. But then Christ came and He brought peace. He had no flaw in His life. He spent every moment thinking not about Himself, but every moment thinking about the will of God. And that needs to be what we do. It does not mean that we won't have any fun. The Lord always gives us ways to have enjoyment and excitement. As a matter of fact, the Bible is filled with the word praise. The Bible is filled with the word rejoice. But rejoicing, true joy comes into our heart not because we do the things that we want to do, but because we do the things that He wants us to do. It's like this, does God not know? If He created you, does He not know what you really are good at and what you really enjoy? It's kind of like a parent buying a present for their kid at Christmas time. They don't go out there and select a gift for their kid that their kid will not enjoy. They think about it, they ponder, they look at all the things that are out there and available. And they say, I will get this gift for my child because that is what my child will enjoy the most. Don't you think the Heavenly Father looks down at your life and says, I know what my child will enjoy the most? And He puts you in that place? It's so easy right now with the Sahara dust blowing over us and the heat wave that we're in to sit back here and complain. But God put me in Florida. It's hot in Florida sometimes. Sometimes we have pollen and sometimes we have dust and sometimes we have hurricanes and we have all sorts of weather. But God put me here. God knows all things. And I need to be thankful and satisfied with where God has put me. I thank God He put me here. He could have put me somewhere where it's so cold I'd be freezing right now. I don't like that either. You know what? I'm never going to be completely satisfied anywhere. So I might as well just be satisfied inside the Lord Jesus Christ. Goodness is not the answer. Christ is the answer. We need to see that the purpose of Satan's system is hatred and evil. It is directed at God and it is directed at God's people. The world system today, it lives for violence and wars. Even people go out there, leaders, they go out there and they say, oh, we're never going to have war again. We're never going to have war again. I tell you, it's not the ones that talk of war that we need to be concerned about. It's the ones that don't talk of war. They're the ones we've not had a day. You know, they had a series back about World War II. Many of you will know this, The World at War. It's a very famous documentary series. But we've never had a period in our history. In our history as a country, in the history of the world, where there have not been wars in this world. We have never been at peace. We need to see the difference today between the world system and between Christ's work. The world lives to make violence, but Christ to make peace. The world may say peace, peace, but words are all that they give. Two men today of difference cannot sit and talk about anything. Had a man years ago, he was over in a section of Leesburg there, and they were having an event, and I'd never heard of it before. It just happened a couple weeks ago. Juneteenth. I'd never heard of it before. I didn't know what it was. So as I was waiting and I was going to put some banners up there, we sat down and he was telling me things, and he was an older man. And he said, we're trying to teach these young kids today about what it was like years ago. And we're trying to get them to remember that way, way back in history, when Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, it took 2.5 years before someone ever decided to tell. They knew, but they decided to actually tell the slaves that were out in Texas. 2.5 years they lied to them. And he said, we want people to know that. But he said, young people today are not interested in the history. They don't pay attention to such things. And he said, this is what it's all about. He said, me and you sitting down at the same table and talking. And you know, the problem today is people can't sit down and talk anymore. They're always aggravated, agitated, mad. It's a problem that we have. I'll tell you, there'll be no peace through this world. Peace, peace, says the world, and they mean nothing. But peace, peace beckons Christ, and Christ makes peace. There, if you look around those that stood at Christ's feet, at the foot of the cross there, those that were His disciples, if you look at those men, you'll notice that He made peace between men of different politics. During His ministry, He made peace between people that were of different nationalities. Remember the Samaritan woman there. Remember the soldier that came from Capernaum. He made peace of different races. He made peace of different economic circumstances. Both the rich and the poor, they met together there with our Lord. Peace, peace, shouts the world. But they cannot talk to each other. They cannot look at each other. They cannot stand near each other without spewing hateful words, profane and filthy words. Sometimes people can make you so mad that you want to say things you shouldn't say. You ought never be controlled by people and what they want you to say. You ought to remember that you're Christ. You're Christ's child. Keep the peace of the world. The Christ whispers back, peace. And He's made peace with us in heavenly places. I want us to understand today that when I say peace of Christ, I don't just mean something that's temporal, but I mean something that is eternal. It lasts forever. No matter what the world does, it can sign peace treaties. In World War I, there was a peace treaty signed between the world and Germany. It was broken so that they could have World War II. The peace treaty that was signed with Japan, it's already been broken. Japan has exceeded the limits of the peace treaty so that they can protect themselves from China. Flags of truce, borders, agreements, mutual defense, mutual threats, armies, allies, but none of those things last. But the peace of Christ, it lasts forever and ever. It extends to us, and through us, it is a blessing to the rest of the world. But it's not permanent without Christ. The peace of Christ is the highest peace that we can come to expect. It goes beyond the seats of a church. It goes beyond the hearts of God's people. And the Bible teaches us that it reaches in the heights of heaven. Even there at Christ's birth, when they were announcing it to the shepherds, the angels came down and they said, glory to God in the highest, and on peace, goodwill toward men. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We need to remember that that's the kind of peace that God wants to give us. It is not a peace that generates within our hearts alone, but it is a peace that comes down from heaven. Man is so unholy that God cannot even look at him. God cannot even look down upon his sin. But our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, when He died for us, He made peace between God and man so that our Heavenly Father can look down and not see our righteousness, but see the righteousness of Christ. Beaten and bruised, bullied and battered, broken, yet bursting forth with peace is our Lord Jesus Christ when He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A peace that the Bible tells us is beyond our comprehension. It speaks of it as being beyond or passing understanding. We don't need to worry today in the atmosphere because man says, oh, there'll be peace eventually. You'll get no peace in this world without the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 10:20 says that rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I tell you today, we ought to be excited as God's people because we have our names written in heaven. Now we come back to our passage, and I want us to see one point real quickly. That's this, that now we see that our duty is to realize that the work of Christ ought to be to rise up in zeal in the face of adversity. Now, I don't mean that we ought to take up arms and fight against people. That's not what I'm saying. I mean that we ought to have the same kind of zeal to do good that other people have to do evil. I've said this many times. A man goes out there and he steals people's identities on a computer, and he goes out there and he does all this work so that he can steal money that doesn't belong to him. And I say if he would just take and spend his brain cells doing something good, he could make real good, honest money. But instead, he puts all of his effort towards doing something that's evil, something that robs other people. Why do we waste our effort and our energy on things that do not honor God? We ought to put zeal. We ought to have a goal in our life, a pressing. Isaiah 52:7, Isaiah writes these things, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. We need to remember this idea in our mind of having a watchman on a wall, knowing that war is coming. And the watchman is looking out there, waiting for the enemy, waiting for the soldiers to come marching over. The Assyrians, they used to dye everything that they had in red. That way people wouldn't see that they had been wounded or not. And also so that their enemy could know that was their purpose in coming. They were coming to shed blood. And when you saw those red soldiers, those completely red, head to toe, faces painted all up, fierce looking, violent, ready to kill, ready to harm, when you saw them, you knew exactly who they were. But Isaiah doesn't say, look at the soldiers of God. He says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Oh, what a welcome sight it would be when you're looking out there, instead of seeing the marching of soldiers coming towards you, closer, 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 producing fear in your heart. Instead of seeing that, you see the beautiful feet of peace. We need feet that march, but not to war, but feet that march for the gospel's sake. They yell things. But let us yell back at the world that Jesus saves. They fight, break, destroy. But let us love Christ. Let us love our fellow man. Let us build. Let us heal. Let us make a difference in this world. They are bold for evil. Let us be bold for good. They are violent, plunging into hell itself. But we are peaceful. The Bible uses the word compelling others into heaven. We need to compel people to Lord Jesus Christ. And a man, years ago, his name was Madden, Booker Madden. And Booker Madden had a friend. And he told his friend about the Lord Jesus Christ. And his friend told me at his funeral, he said, I just kind of pushed him off and brushed him off. And he looked at me and he put his finger up there and he said, that's fine, you can say no today. But he said, I'll get you eventually. And if you don't get got by the Lord, the devil will get you, won't he? Oh, we need to have peace in this world. That which is not wanted by the world is that which the world needs. They need Jesus Christ. Peace, peace, please the world. But we hear the cry back, war, war. But heaven's answer still returns today. Christ, Christ. Can I encourage you today, and this is my entire message, that we, like the violent, we need to have zeal about us. But we need to have a zeal to do that which is right. It's so easy to get discouraged from doing what is right. It's so easy to get discouraged because of circumstances and situations and people. People can drive you up a wall. But I don't serve the Lord because of people. I serve the Lord because of Jesus Christ. And we have to remember that. We have people today, have family members, some family members in you that you have maybe lost. Or they're not serving the Lord. And you're sitting back there and you're saying, what can I possibly do? I'm telling you, you have to be everything that you ought to be. Not everything that you are, but everything that you ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the one testimony, maybe the only testimony in their life. But you are one testimony that they are watching constantly. You say, how long do I have to do this? Well, how long do you want peace? You see, it's not about, I'm not fighting a war. I'm enjoying what God has given to me. I'm fighting a battle so that we can take and have peace here in our world and in our system. We need to turn around. Men have fought wars, shed blood, protected our country time after time after time again. It's time for us to protect our country from ungodliness. It's time for God's people to stand up in prayer, in Bible reading, in devotion. It's time for us to be what we ought to be. We cannot expect others to do it. We have to do it ourselves. The Bible says we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Let us go forth. The violent, take it by force. Let us be forceful in serving the Lord today.